wish to read each one in Jesus' name this morning. It certainly is a pleasure to be back home again. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of worshiping with the brethren in Pataste, Costa Rica, and certainly was a blessing. Enjoyed it very much. It's nice to be home again, and just something to challenge us. You know, our church house here is getting really full, and because some brethren were willing to sacrifice and move to Costa Rica back the mid-60s, I guess it was, late 60s. Now there, I didn't count the number of churches, but my uncle has a map of Costa Rica on the wall with a pin where every church is located, every conservative church is located in Costa Rica. And I would say there's probably a dozen or so churches in Costa Rica today. And I know we have a work to do right here, but brethren, I can't help but believe that God wants us to be witnesses in other parts of the world also. And I just leave that as a challenge, but I think it's something we need to be praying about and seeking the Lord's guidance in. I was just challenged. I didn't get to any other area but the area of Pataste. Now, there was some from San Vito came up, a cousin of mine and his family, part of his family. But the number of native Christians that have married Americans, my cousins even. And anyways, the gospel needs to go forth, and I'd hate to see anyone move away from here. We're family. But, you know, we do have a responsibility in this world to preach the gospel, to be a witness wherever God wants us to go. There are many, many people in this world that are living in bondage, they're living in fear, they're living in discouragement. They need to know the truth. There is freedom in knowing the truth. That's what I want to think about that some this morning, freedom through truth. Now, we all like the thought of being free. We don't want to be in bondage. Rightfully so. But you know, as we think of freedom through truth, I think there's some that have the mistaken idea that when we come to know the Lord, we're free now, and so we can, you know, we don't have to live under any laws. But the Word of God tells us that speaks of the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. So there is a law that goes along with liberty. But truth sets us free from the power of sin, the power of darkness, and those things that separate us from God. Truth is a powerful thing. And the truth will never deceive us. The truth is so important that the proverb writer says in chapter 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is the most important thing, I believe, that we can think about. The truth of God's Word, of God Himself. God is truth. Jesus is truth. And so we need to love the truth. We need to put forth all our energy in knowing the truth and living by it. Don't let it get away from us. We live in a world where there's very much deception. There's many false teachings going out into the world. Well, I'm thankful that the truth never changes. God's Word is forever established in heaven. Jesus said, "My heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word will never pass away. And I am truly thankful for that this morning. Truth exposes counterfeits. Truth exposes error. John chapter 18 and verse 38, when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked him, "What is truth? What is truth?" What would my answer be this morning if someone asked me that? What would be your answer? What is truth? Well, you know, Pilate saw truth personified there in front of him. He saw Jesus. Jesus is truth. Jesus, well, that one of the attributes of God is that he cannot lie. He cannot lie. Satan is the father of lies. And God cannot lie. He is truth. We can turn to, I think we'll just take time to turn to St. John. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word here we understand to be Christ. He was with God. He is God. And we go down to verse 14. He says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father," notice, "full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus came to this world and presented to mankind God's truth. In verse 17, it says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Truth. You know, it is just such a wonderful blessing that we can know the truth. Wouldn't it be dreadful if we were deceived into thinking that something was the truth, only to find out at the end of life that we were deceived? It wasn't the truth. But brothers and sisters, we need not fear that maybe the message of this book is incorrect. We don't have to fear that. It is truth. It is the message of God to mankind, given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to faithful writers, those who wrote the message. And I believe that it is completely necessary, it's imperative that we're convinced that Jesus is the truth, that He is the way, He is the life. We clearly understand that there are two spiritual kingdoms. And we certainly want to be in God's kingdom. The other kingdom, the kingdom of the devil, kingdom of darkness and lies. I'm so thankful this morning that the truth will set us free from the kingdom of Satan. And you know, Scripture makes it clear that we all were part of that kingdom once upon a time. And if we haven't bowed ourselves before God in true repentance and confessed our sins, repented, and looked to Jesus to cleanse us from our sin, then we're still part of the kingdom of darkness. But praise God, the truth can set us free. We can be delivered from the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan. Jesus, the truth, is the only one that can set us free from the power of Satan. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the prophecy of Christ says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, This morning I am extremely thankful for the work of Christ, that through His work we can be freed, we can be set at liberty. We were in sin's prison. We were completely helpless to liberate ourselves. But because of Jesus, because of truth, we can now be freed. We can be set free, just like when Peter was in prison and the angel came and told him to rise up, follow him. It was miracle after miracle there. Peter was set free. And you know, when we think of the bondage that we were in, we were in sin's prison. But truth can deliver us from that, can free us from the shackles of sin and give us victory over those sins that will drag us down into bondage. John chapter 8, we find many verses that deal with being free and freedom, liberty. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. Then Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they went on to say, Well, we've never been in bondage to any man. Said, We're Abraham's seed. Jesus says in verse 34, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. Brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful, wonderful liberty, a glorious liberty that we can have through truth, through knowing Jesus, who is truth. Verse 40. Jesus told the people, said, But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. So this morning, brothers and sisters, do we really love the truth? Do we love God's word? Do we love the message that Jesus gave us when he was here and walked the face of the earth? Romans 8. Verse 21 speaks of the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty. And it is glorious. It's glorious in many ways. It's glorious because we've now, we'll get into that a little later. But, you know, there's just such a free feeling. There's such a light feeling when we know that everything is good between us and God. That condemnation isn't there anymore. The shackles of sin have been broken. We're free from the fads and fashions of this world. They don't interest us anymore. We're not interested in trying to make ourselves look like somebody we're not. We just want to be pure witnesses for the glory of God. And when we are exposed to truth, this is what leads us to conviction and repentance. You know, when Joseph's brethren came before him, they didn't recognize him for who he was, but the truth of the matter was that it was Joseph. And his dealing with them brought them to understand that truly we are guilty. Truly we are guilty. And so when we expose ourselves to the gospel of this book, the message of this book, which is God's truth, when we expose ourselves to it, it leads us to conviction and repentance. Now, that is the initially. After conviction and repentance, then it feeds our soul, and we grow in the likeness of God. We love that truth that feeds our inner man. But I was just thinking of conviction and repentance. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians 7. And Paul gives a very, very good explanation here of how a person is convicted, and then how you deal with that for freedom, for liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Begin reading it, verse 8. Paul had written them a letter. He said, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. For I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." So, as truth is revealed to us, it reveals what's in our heart. And when there are things that need to be taken care of, then we can repent of that and find forgiveness. And then that true repentance brings restitution, and all this working together gives us freedom. We're no longer found guilty before God. God has proclaimed us innocent. He's proclaimed us that way. He's forgiven us, and He no longer holds this against us. So we can now again stand before Him justified. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching there, the people were pricked in their hearts, said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter told them, "Repent." And that's when truth is given, God can work in the hearts, and He can deliver men and women from their sins, from the condemnation that they feel. He can give them true freedom and peace and joy. We often refer to Ephesians, the second chapter. I think there's a reason for that, because we all were children of disobedience. We know that we all were out in sin. The devil had us under his control. We walked according to the course of this world. We were in bondage. No one can free themselves from the power of the devil, from the bondage that he places us in. But verse 4 says, "But God." And there the picture changes. Because when we allow the truth to work in our hearts, then God, who is rich in mercy, works and cleanses us from that sin and from that bondage. He takes us from that place of bondage and delivers us, gives us freedom, where we're free to do His will. He brings us into this glorious freedom. Verse 19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God." What a difference from being bound and shackled by sin, being held in Satan's prison, to being released from that, and now we're fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, enjoying the blessings of God, enjoying forgiveness, enjoying communion with God. It's such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. All this comes from being exposed to the truth, accepting the truth, allowing it to work in our hearts. We could go to Romans chapter 6. Maybe we should just do that. Beginning at verse 17. May God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you have become the servants of righteousness. We were in sin's bondage, but by hearing the truth and accepting the truth and allowing God to perform His work in our hearts, like we heard this morning of receiving new hearts, now we can be made free from sin, and we became the servants of righteousness. But you know, to serve God is not anywhere near like being servants of Satan. God is a good master. He's a loving master. He's a father. He wants us to call Him Abba Father, which it denotes a real close relationship between father and child. So when we are servants to righteousness and holiness, that's a wonderful relationship. Romans 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 2 also, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." So the condemnation is taken away. Truth removes condemnation when we allow it to work in our hearts. As we yield ourselves to truth, condemnation of sin is removed. There is life there. There is peace. There's joy. There's happiness. Verse 15 speaks of how we have received the spirit of adoption. We were servants of Satan. We were held in his bondage. But now, being delivered through truth, we have received the adoption of sons. Now we have the freedom to approach God's throne with confidence. We need not fear that the scepter will not be extended to us, because we have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Truth frees us from the Mosaic law. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and so we don't live under the law of Moses anymore. We live under the law of Jesus Christ, the New Testament. Truth guards us from deception, like we've already noted. There's much false teaching about us. I'm so thankful for the Word of God that is truth. We need not fear that it will deceive us in any way. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we're to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, the word of truth. And as we feed on this word, as we study it, as we meditate on it, and apply the truths to our lives, and allow these truths to guide us through life, to control our actions, to control our thoughts, to control our everything that we do, we have a blessed and a sweet relationship with our Savior. It is so very important that we feed on God's Word. That is truth. That will keep us in the straight and narrow way. We become lax. Feeding on the Word and drinking of water of life, we'll become weak. We'll become very weak, and finally there will be spiritual death. The truth is the sword of the Holy Spirit that we are to use to fight against the devil and his forces. The enemy comes in very subtle ways. Brothers and sisters, as we yield ourselves to truth, as we follow the teaching of God's Word, we need not be overcome by the devil. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. Very, very important part of the body that needs protection, the loins. It says here, let your loins, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and so on. Truth is very important in overcoming the devil and the temptations and things that he brings to us. 2 John verse 4. Apostle John was one that loved the truth. He loved to see others walking in the truth. He says, here I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as ye have received a commandment from the Father. Walking in truth. Living in obedience to the Word of God. And then over in 3 John, verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I trust that is our testimony also this morning. As a leader in the church, I believe I can say for the rest of the ordained brethren that we have no greater joy than to see that each member is really sincere in walking in truth, sincere in wanting to be obedient to the Word of God, that each one wants to, by all means, be ready to meet the Lord, and we're all working together, walking together in truth, upholding truth in our daily lives so that we can be a witness to those around us and be found ready when the Lord calls us out of this world. You know, we don't know when our time will come to go. Michelle Krupp passed away. That was
expected Janet Pichiao in Guatemala suddenly passed away unexpectedly from a heart attack. And so, brothers and sisters, it's very urgent that we are walking in truth, that we are living for the Lord, that we have found this freedom that only comes through knowing the Lord Jesus. We do not know when our time will end here on this earth. And as there are two kingdoms, and only two kingdoms, we make our choice today as to which kingdom we will be in eternally. That's our choice. Have we chosen to really follow truth, really follow the Lord? If there's anyone here this morning that has not made that commitment, I just plead with you to do so. Because eternity is forever. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, to a knowledge of the truth, and be prepared to meet God in peace. Let's pray.